This is Carol Kosovar looking at education on KALW, and joining me is Katie Breckenridge, who is the Vice President of Programs with the Partnership for Children and Youth here in Oakland. One of the big issues that are facing communities not only in California but throughout the United States is after school. What is the future of after school? Quite frankly, after school programs both at the national and state level are under siege. Katie, what's the story and why is it so important?
So, you know, I think I want to start just by pointing out that after school and summer programs are something that parents across the country and in California have valued for years. There's research showing that upper and middle income families pay something like $5,300 a year for their kids to participate in after school arts and sports and tutoring. And low income families pay about 10 times less than that because they don't have the resources. So we have valued this with our dollars, and yet we have kids across the state who haven't been able to access that, and the only resource they've had is through this after-school education and safety program, which is state-funded and provides programming to about 500,000 kids in the state. And that program is really gravely threatened right now. It has had the same level of funding since 2006, which is only $7.50 per day per child. So imagine trying to hire a babysitter even for that. And that amount hasn't increased despite significant increases in the minimum wage and in the cost of living. So we are desperately fighting to keep programs open so that kids can access those kinds of activities that we know are so important to their math and English language skills, as well as their physical fitness and health, as well as, you know, the research shows it keeps them engaged and coming to school. So there are so many reasons that after school and summer programs are important, and the state situation right now is really grave. And it's actually, you know, made worse by what could possibly happen at the federal level. So if we lose this federal funding stream that is now on the chopping block called 21st Century Community Learning Center money, the state will basically have a double catastrophe around its after school and summer programs.
So the workforce has changed dramatically. And years ago, you would have someone who might be at home to take care of kids after school. But essentially, it's critical for parents of any socioeconomic level to have after-school support. And that seems to me one of the big changes in society and why after-school really is so closely associated with success in school.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, one of the things that we know is that in particular, so there's the after school issue and there's also the summer issue. So we know that kids in the summer who don't have access to structured programming lose as much as 2 or 3 months of reading level compared to their better resourced peers. And that's because their families, you know, can't take the summer off to hang out with them and go on fun trips and go to the library and the museums and all of the things that people with more flexibility are able to do. But if you're working two jobs, you're certainly not available after school and you're not available in the summer. So kids are doing a lot of TV watching and they're playing video games, eating unhealthy food, you know, and it's there's so much potential to be doing exciting and fun, engaging activities if we can provide the state and federal resources to do that.
And there's a safety issue, too, because we don't want to have youngsters left alone between 3 and 6 o'clock in the afternoon. Safety for them and safety for the community.
Yeah, absolutely. The research has been clear that those hours are some of the most impacted times for crime against youth and crime by youth. So we want to keep kids safe and we want to keep them engaged in all of the things that they actively want to be learning. That, you know, this is something that kids are excited to be part of. And again, that really supports their learning in school.
Let me just remind you, this is Carol Kosovar looking at education on KALW. And joining me is Katie Brackenridge, who is the Vice President of Programs for the Partnership for Children and Youth. Now, you've sort of geared up here because this is a big issue, and it's coming to a head in this budget cycle here in California. Over the last couple of years, there have been attempt after attempt after attempt to try to maintain the status quo of funding for after school. And when I say maintain the status quo, that doesn't mean maintain the funding level. It means maintaining the programs that kids need.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, as I said earlier, the funding level's been the same despite all of the increases in costs. So we are at a point where programs will have to close their doors if they can't figure out a funding situation that doesn't cause them to lose money. And so we do have a bill pending, SB 78, and we also have a budget appropriation request that is moving its way through the California legislature, and you know we're optimistic that we can get through those processes, and we're very, very hopeful that the governor will choose to sign the bill this year. You know, we think California can do better than Trump. We can make good decisions that support our kids and our families in a way that is increasingly critical in the context of the national political scene. What happens in California must be different than what's happening nationally.
Now, California really had been the leader in after-school and summer-school programs for many, many years. And because the funding has been essentially stagnant, hasn't increased as the cost of living has gone up, as sick leave and other benefits have gone up, where does it stand now if this doesn't get passed?
Well, I think there's a very real threat to programming across the state of California where there aren't additional resources, where parents can't afford to pay for these programs, that those doors will close and those programs will not be available to kids. So the inequity that already exists to some degree between kids of limited resources and their better resource peers will increase. That gap will increase. That means kids will have less opportunity to do sports and theater and arts and tutoring after school compared to other kids who will have more of that. And we are very clear that that will impact the achievement gap and certainly the opportunity gap of what kids can, the options kids will have as they grow and as adults.
So the struggle these organizations have is, how do you hire someone for $7.50? How do you maintain your staff?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's a real struggle right now just to find the bodies to do this work. And I haven't even talked about the quality of programming yet. So as the funding level stays stagnant compared to all of these costs, it is harder and harder to provide the training that staff need, the kind of oversight and support that staff need in order to do the job that they want and need to be doing, not to mention things like field trips and materials that the programs need. So as we're thinking about the doors closing on programs, there's an interim step here. There's also the decrease in quality of those programs, and we want to make sure, obviously, that kids are getting the best as they come to get extra help and extra activities.
And you're really talking about after-school programs that are closely tied to what's happening at that school site.
Yeah, so all of the ACES programs are based on school sites, so there's a real link between the staff working with kids after school and what's happening during the school day, and that's a real opportunity to align support so kids are having, ideally, consistently positive experiences all day long, and that is so important for kids, and that's part of where that higher level of student attendance and engagement comes. You know, they come to school to be in school and for the bonus of getting to go to this after-school program and be with adults who really care about them and experience a lot of activities that they otherwise really wouldn't have access to.
So if you're concerned about, will I have a quality after-school program at my school, if you are wondering what the impact will be in California, where would you get more information?
So the best place to start would be to go to our website, which is save.com. afterschool.com, and you can sign on to get alerts about different actions that can be taken. And there's also an After School and Summer Challenge Day on May 15th and 16th in Sacramento, and we're organizing folks to go and speak with their legislators about this issue and about the importance of supporting after school and summer programming for kids.
So the strongest voices in many ways are parents who know what it will be like if they lose after school. And should those parents be involved?
Well, yes, they should. That would be awesome. We really want to have people speaking directly to their legislators, whether it's in person during that challenge event or by going to the website and signing up to send letters advocate for the programming in your area, and really hearing voices from folks, the constituents of those legislators, is the thing that makes the difference.
So get out a pen or pencil and write down saveafterschool.com. It's a pretty clear message. And if you want to save after school, go on the website and find more information about how you can be involved in the efforts to save after school and summer programs in California. I want to thank Katie. This is Carol Kosovar, looking at education on KALW.